got some food for thought to go with the all-you-can-eat. How much food is needed to feed 1,000 people? Well, let's just look at a typical barbecue meal. It'd take about 200 pounds of brisket, along with 200 pounds of chicken. Don't forget the potato salad, 45 gallons. And then just a measly 50 gallons of beans. And then, of course, the love of the pickles with it, 5 gallons. Bread, just 100 loaves. And then for everybody that likes butter with their bread, 30 pounds of butter. Oh, but lest we forget dessert. 40 gallons of ice cream, 180 pies. Now that is a lot of food. Now today we don't have to travel far to find an all-you-can-eat buffet. Some of them may be within walking distance. Surely each of us at time has eaten at one of these buffets, and most likely afterward wished we had not eaten so much. Yet we continue to return to our favorite buffets only to experience similar results. Our advances in technologies and mass production have also brought supermarkets, restaurants, and countless other methods so that we no longer have to live the hunter-gatherer lifestyle. Interestingly, we take for granted the ease at which we obtain our food, and it would be a rare occurrence for us to miss a meal. Here are a few interesting thoughts about buffets. Oh, how much we love them. Start at the end of the buffet and work your way back to the start of it. This gives you an opportunity to see what all is available so that you don't fill your plate up with those first few selections. For the wise buffet will likely keep the cheaper, less expensive items in the beginning to fill you up. And also, while walking through the buffet line, think about those items in there that you know would cost more. This will help you feel that you're getting your money's worth. And then last, you can utilize smaller plates when making your trips to the buffet. This gives your body the opportunity to let you know when you're full. Back in my college days, well, maybe not so much just then either, but I would typically literally eat like a pig at these buffets. It seemed that the more I ate, the more that I'd get for the amount that I was spending. And I always wanted to get my money's worth. And of course, many of us do the same. Now let's drift a little. We all have stories. You know, the ones that get told over over again. Typically, these stories involve something that brings back memories of the past. We each have our own tales, which are brought up time and time again, and they begin with, "Remember when?" So take a moment and recall one of your old buffet favorites, or even one of them that you visit regularly today. Now think about walking up to that buffet and finding 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Not much of a selection. Now expand that vision to see 1,000 people. Remember that list of food that we just talked about to feed 1,000 people? Or better yet, what if there were 5,000 people at that buffet. Now, just as I had mentioned about those remember when tales that are heard over and over again, the Bible has only 2 miracles that are written in all 4 of the Gospels. We find the resurrection and the feeding of the 5,000. We all clearly know that the resurrection is by far the most significant, because that is the basis of our faith. So now, if you'd like to, we're going to turn to Mark chapter 6, verses 33 through 40, and we'll hear about the other, the feeding of the 5,000. And again, in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 44, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out with them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread, and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down in ranks, by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. We also find this story in Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21, in Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, and John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. For each of the authors makes particular mention of the 5,000 people being fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. So surely, indeed, it is a miracle itself that is noted. So first, let's take a look at the setting, for it was a desert place. We find that in Matthew, as we just read, Mark, but also in Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, and then Mark 6, 31, and then also Luke 9, 10. Each of the 3 refers to a desert place where there was much grass. Now, in our age, when we use this in the sense of an adjective, it's implying to be like a desert, which provides little food or water. In biblical times, desert would have been pasture ground, or a good place for tribes to flock or herd to, and found between areas of inhabitants. Thus, the land would not have had a marketplace, nor inns, or homes, for which to find food and shelter for the night. Significantly different than today, where between major cities and everything, we can find gas stations, restaurants, and motels. Now second, let's examine the situation. For the story begins with Jesus learning about what the apostles had done and taught. And he had also just heard about John the Baptist beheaded. At this time, Jesus wanted to go with his apostles to this desert place for some time of rest together. However, we find that the people had heard or saw Jesus, and thus they followed him into this desert place. For then Jesus showed compassion to the people by teaching them of the kingdom of God and performing healings of the sick. Once again, we see Jesus in his act of servant-like life that he led. And as the day progressed, dusk approached, and the apostles had suggested to Jesus that he send the people away so that they could feed, for they were in a desert place. The feeding of 5,000 people would indeed require a great deal of food and preparation. And they were not in such an accommodating place. For even today, it would be challenging to feed 5,000 people. Remember when we talked earlier, we were talking 1,000 people requiring 200 pounds of brisket, 200 pounds of chicken. Multiply that by 5, we would be needing to prepare 1,000 pounds of brisket, 1,000 pounds of chicken. Don't forget all the size, and especially that drink. Now third, the solution after hearing the apostles' request, Jesus told them, give ye them to eat. Again, we find the apostles' lack of faith with their statements of going to buy food. For we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yet the confidence of Jesus shows as he stands forth and asks for the loaves and the fish. Then, after commanding the multitude to sit down, he took the loaves and fish, looked up to heaven, and blessed and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the apostles, and everyone ate and was filled. Now take a moment to consider the fact that the gospel mentions 5,000 men. It's likely that women and children were also present. But let's not get hung up on the fact. Just consider 5,000 people. For we've read that there were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Now that's not a lot of food even for a dozen people. But maybe there were 5 large loaves of bread and 2 large fish. Maybe we could feed 50 or 100. But yet we read, after feeding 5,000, when they had finished their meal, the apostles then gathered up the remains, in which there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. And after the people had seen this, the miracle states in John chapter 6, verse 14, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. We once again see where Jesus, as the Messiah, can and will provide for all the needs of his people. We also must realize the orderliness that Jesus kept for this feeding, for he commanded all to sit down in companies, which we see reference to in groups of 50 and 100. This has likeness to our recount when we think about Genesis and creation. Now, there's a few interesting things in this miracle. First, we didn't read it, but it was a little boy who gave up these 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is symbolic to us giving our lives to Jesus Christ. And second, the 12 baskets filled with the remains of food, is that to satisfy the 12 fickle apostles, each with their own basket, could truly see the remains of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And third, what I think is the biggest act of symbolism found, is that Jesus provides the bread of life. It is the word of Jesus Christ that we need to eat in order to have eternal life. He provides the manna that God promised for our souls. Jesus sets the example of life to live, and we work to try and mimic that life. For we read in John chapter 6, verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." We find within this story, it exhibits Jesus' compassion for our souls and our bodies, power to provide for our every need, and orderliness in the work that he performs. We men find that we misunderstand the will of God. We seek material things of the world. And sometimes, we all are dull at heart. Now, we've examined another story where the disciples, again, did not have faith in Jesus, thus proving that they were indeed men and humans just like we. Remember, this story was not told once, not twice, not 3 times, but by all 4 of the gospel writers. This leads us to the fact of the importance of the story, and also that we must recall that the people, after feeding, were moved, for they truly had seen a miracle of Jesus. Now take a step forward. How many of us have decided to give up on situations that we've been faced with? Consider these 2 questions. What have you decided is too big to be accomplished by God? We believe that God is only capable of performing miracles that we can think of. But God is more than what we can only consider. We must always remember that God is bigger than we think. This brings back verses from an old hymn by John Newton, "The Lord Will Provide." And it goes, "The birds without barn, or storehouse or fed, from them let us learn to trust for our bread. His saints, what is fitting, shall never be denied, so long as it is written, the Lord will provide. When Satan appears to stop up our path and fills us with fear, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, the heart-cheering promise, the Lord will provide." Now, second, where have you decided that you have too little to make a difference? For we all fall guilty, just as the apostles did with the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. We think we don't have enough fill in the blank. Consider this statement. When I get more blank, then I'm going to blank. You know, we hear that sometimes. When I get more money, I want to get a bigger house. There's a few more that we've heard. When I get more time, then I'm going to serve more in the ministry. When I get more energy, then I'm going to play with my kids more. When I get more money, then I'm going to give like I want to. When I get more experience, then I'm going to lead more. When cigarettes get to so many dollars, then I'm going to quit. Now, I don't judge those that smoke, for we're each burdened with our own struggles. But until we decide that we're ready to stop. We will stop making excuses. And we will find ways to do without. Brings back an old quote that I came across 15, 20 years ago. Four simple words. No excuses, just results. Ultimately, we must keep in mind that we do not have the complete abilities or resources to accomplish anything without the power of God. We must maintain that we are truly strong when we admit to our limitations and acknowledge our dependence on God. And Paul tells us what the Lord said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And we find Paul's response in verse 10. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, remember back to that situation that we were talking about that maybe you had given up on. Because you just didn't think you could make it happen. That you can, through and with Jesus Christ. And I invite you to let Jesus lead you and guide you and let Him provide the bread of life. He will change you into a new person with a new start, and then He wants to multiply what you have. We need to ensure that we do not hoard these multiplications that Jesus gives to us. For we find from the feeding of the 5,000 that giving away 5 loaves and 2 fishes resulted in about 12 times as much in return. Even after all were filled and fed. And again, about that thing you're worried about, well, someone else is probably worried about it also. And probably somebody that you care for. When God multiplies our hope, it spills over, and others around us feed off it in those dark times, those precious times of need. Remember, it will not always be easy. And everything will not go your way. But in the end, you will succeed, and the Lord will provide. For we each need to allow Christ to be our leader in life. And that begins with us giving our lives to Him. If you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, now is the time to do it. We're going to be singing an invitational hymn now. And if you haven't confessed Christ as your Savior and been baptized, take the time today. Why wait? Or maybe you've done all this and would like to join this congregation. I invite you now to do this, if you will, as we stand and sing. We will be singing Psalm 62.